Well, I somewhat felt I released my burden already in the first part. In the coming weeks, I hope to develop this whole matter in a kind of a step-by-step way to really enrich our understanding. It very much depends on our understanding and our appreciation of these matters. And but not only that, I really hope that the Lord could have a revived service life in the churches as a result. It is this matter of the so-called universal priesthood, you know, that's the name that is coined, I think, especially by the British brethren, the brothers, emphasize the fact that all believers are priests. Every single Christian is a priest. That is a direct departure or the rejection of the whole Anglican Church and the, you know, these kind of organized Christianity, where only a few, only in people that went to school, that are trained, they become the professional clerical class, and they are called the priests. The rest of the believers are just the common folks. They don't know anything about the Bible. They don't know anything about this holy service to God. They just are the laymen, huh? And that whole clergy laity system was something that they saw as wrong, totally wrong in the word. And that is a great thing. So they are for they promoted this matter of the recovery of the universal priesthood, where every saint is important, every saint serve, every saint is a New Testament priest. And that is correct. But it's one thing to agree with this truth of the universality of the New Testament priesthood, to agree with that. But to really, really demolish and abolish and demolish this practice, this tradition of just some doing the things, the rest, you know, just put the money in the offering plate, just show up to warm the benches, you know what I mean, is not easy. So this clergy laity practice and this clergy laity tradition is still very much among us, even in the recovery, starting in our concept. And that's why some saints, the elders will do it, these saints will do it. I'm just a brother, I cannot do anything, I just go and make money, I just take care of my family, and I'll just come to a meeting and do something. Is wrong. God doesn't want that. God wants a nation of priests. That means this nation's calling, this nation's vocation, this nation's mission is to serve the Lord, is to serve God and nothing else. Everything else that they do is to support this mission. Everyone. I tell you, when that happens, when every saint would rise up to serve as a priest, as a member in the body, I tell you, that is a great aspect of the Lord's recovery. You know, the Lord's recovery is to recover three things primarily. Number one, to recover Christ as life, you know, in our experience. And number two, to recover the church as his body. And of course, it is also to recover many, many truths there is, but primarily it is to recover God's economy to work out his purpose by his dispensing himself into man, etc., etc. And there's one other thing that is important to the recovery is the recovery of what? Of the function of every member of the body of Christ. And this is clear. You cannot be more clear in the Bible, especially in the New Testament. And this matter of the priesthood is what? Is a very important angle or way of approaching this matter. And this is consistent in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Today, we are saints, we are Christians, we are believers, we are members of the Lord's body. But don't forget, in terms of our service and function, we are priests. We are priests. And the church is no doubt God's kingdom. It is his household. It is his dwelling place. It is his bride. It is his body. It is the new man and so forth. But in terms of the church's function and service, I tell you, it is a kingdom of priests. It is a priesthood. So that must be recovered among us. So I hope that, in the beginning, in the 60s, Brother Lee brought in this matter at the start of his recovery in this country, the priesthood. And you know that in his labor, in his ministry, there is this underlying burden, and that is for the what? Universal function and participation and activity, right, in the church life of every brother and sisters, in the meeting life, in our meeting life, for sure, in all of our meetings. It's where we all should function, all should serve. At the Lord's table, that's where we all should be praising the Lord. We all should be singing. We all should be offering the fruits of our lips, the sacrifice of praises to God. Am I right? At the prayer meeting, we all should be burning incense. We all should be praying. There should not be some of us sitting there. Everyone should be praying. And not only in the meetings, in our daily lives, we should be living a life by that golden incense altar, a life of prayer. That's a priest's life. Why do we pray, have a prayer life? Because we're priests. We're here to offer that incense to God in our intercession, in our petition, in our prayer. That is a priestly life right there. Why do we live a life of abiding in Christ, fellowshipping with the Lord, spending time with him? That's not some thing. That is a priestly living. A priest in the Old Testament, they wore these special priestly sanctified garments, which are all types of Christ in many aspects. The food that they eat, a priestly diet, are all pictures and types of Christ. They just eat Christ. They wear Christ. They just live They all dwell, you know, all only the priests live by the tabernacle, all right? They're not out there in some tents like the other tribes. The tribe of Levite and the household of Aaron, they live all around the tabernacle. Their life, their existence revolves around the tabernacle. And the tabernacle is just a picture of Christ and the expanded and enlarged Christ, his church. And all they do, these priests, they don't work. They don't do anything. They're the full-timers of the olden days. They eat off the other tribes because their sole job is to serve God and worship God and to take care of the things of Christ and the church. Day and night, they just handle all the furnishings. They are the one who with the help of the Levites, who erect the tabernacle, spread out the furnishings. They are the ones who take them down and transport them as they travel in the wilderness. I mean, brothers and sisters, their whole life is engaged with nothing but this. And that is God's people worship of God. It's a huge thing because this is where God derives his enjoyment and pleasure and satisfaction from his people, from his people's worship and praise and enjoyment. My goodness. And he also would enjoy participating in that enjoyment as well. How crucial a role are the priests of God? A real priest is one who's not just working for God, that is just an expression and overflow. A real priest of God is simply one who lives day and night in the Lord's presence, enjoying him, being filled with him. Brothers, that's our Christian life. And then whatever comes out of us in our service, in the meetings, in the praise, in the prayer, in the sharing of the gospel, in the feeding of the new ones, in the prophesying in the church, to prophesy Christ and so forth, to minister Christ, excuse me, to people, to the fellow members, to build up the church. All this work and services as an outflow of our life and living is what eventually builds up the church. So this matter of priesthood is great, great matter. Great, great matter. And we will touch these things as we go on further. That's in the 60s, Brother Lee began that. That then in the end of 1980s, after he returned from Taiwan, after 5 years of study of how to meet and serve according to the scriptures, the scripture revealed way, which later on he called it the God ordained way to meet and to serve, he came back mainly with this. And that is what he called the New Testament priesthood of the gospel. So, dear brothers and sisters, I hope that you would be really stirred up by this. You would pursue this in these days, and there would be a resulting a renewal and revival in our church service everywhere. Now, I just wanted to say one thing, and then I will stop here because we have coming weeks to say more. And that is, this priesthood is a built-up entity. This priesthood is not just a bunch of priests, each doing their own thing and what is right in their own eyes. No, this priesthood is a building. You have to be built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood. We need brothers and sisters as living stones, as priests, to be built up together, to be built up together, to be blended together, to be knit together, to be framed together, to be joined together, both as the house of God and also as a priesthood. And it is this built priesthood that will render to God the service, that will offer up all the spiritual sacrifices. So individually, we, each one of us, is a priest. But collectively, corporately, we must be built up as a priesthood. I'm going to talk about more. This is why we all need some companions, okay? We all need some companions. A priest does not serve alone. There's no such thing. All the priests, even in the Old Testament, serve, right, according to their families, according to, you know, the Levites, the households, according to their assignment. There's no single lone priest running around doing his own thing. They all have their assignment. They all have their place. And they serve together as a unit, a built-up unit, to take care of this or that aspect of the tabernacle or this or that function in the offerings and in so many other things related to the tabernacle. So this is why we need to be in groups. We need to be in groups so we would be a built-up little priesthood serving there, right? And this is why even the whole locality of a church need to be built up into a priesthood. To what? To render this kind of service and worship to God, and in so doing, to render this kind of ministry to people, whether it be sinners, whether it would be saints. I don't know what to say. I would say, how rich is the priest's life? How glorious is the priesthood? What a privilege and what an honor and what an utter blessing this is that we can serve God in this way. Today, in the next age, more intensely, and in eternity. That's what we will do. Amen. I think that is my added word. Now, I don't know if any of you may have any questions or some fellowship. I don't know whether that's possible or not, or where we should go from here. Don't just be impressed or just inspired. Again and again in all my talks to you, my burden is practice. So even with this fellowship, you may say it doesn't sound very practical. Actually, it's immensely practical. Immensely practical. Brothers and sisters, let's step up. Let's go to the Lord first. Lord, speak to me. Shine on me. Illuminate me in this very matter of being your priest. As I'm speaking here, there's the reigning part of the priest, because in that chapter 2 of 1 Peter, there's not only the holy priesthood, referring to the nature, right, of the priesthood. It's holy, it is sanctified, it's godly, it's not common, all right? But in verse 9, in the same chapter, it says, we are a holy nation, a peculiar treasure to God. You know, Peter is absolutely quoting Exodus here. We are a personal treasure to God. We are a holy nation, and we are a royal priesthood, a kingly priesthood. In the end, the kingship and the priesthood will be blended together. That's why we're a kingdom of priests, right? And so we will both reign with Christ and we will serve Christ. I hope we will touch these things more as we go on. When I think like this, I say, forget about the world. Forget about the world's calling. Yes, the world is there always seducing and tempting and drawing us. But, wow. That song, "We'll Dwell with the King for His Work." You remember that song? Oh, I think we need to rewrite. We'll dwell with the King as his priest or something. We'll. My, what a wonderful church life this is, brothers and sisters. Maybe we can end early today. We don't need to end at 12 o'clock. If there's we can sing a hymn or.
Brother Minoru.
Yes.
There was a question in the chat to ask for how this could apply to those who are serving as mothers or grandmothers.
Oh, give a sense easy. While you are doing your grandmother's work, while you're doing your mother's work, you should be a priestly mother. You should not forget you are a priest. While you're taking care of your children, these are not your children, by the way, aren't they? They are all God's. You agree with me? They're not yours. So you're taking care of them is you're taking care of them on God's behalf. How about think that way? You're taking care of them. And while you're taking them, you should what? You should eat like the priest's food. You should dress like the priest, the priest's garments. You should have still your prayer life to pray to the Lord. I tell you to have a few companions, sisters, in your busy raising a family life. Don't tell me you don't have any time left. I don't believe that, okay? The same thing with any one of us. I'm too busy. I don't take that, and I don't believe that. You have a lot of time for many other things besides raising your children, okay? You have time. It's a matter of priority. It's a matter of whether you have seen what is most important. So it is not when you go to the meeting hall, then you put on your collar, turn around, and you become a priest suddenly. No, we all live a daily priestly life as a mother, as a dad, as someone working out there. In our daily life, we just remind ourselves of our status, of our real position, of who we really are. My first job is not this and that. My first job is not even to raise up my child. My first job is to serve the Lord. And I'm just placed here in this situation to serve him. And I can serve him. How about, sister, you have to find one or two, what I call the twos and threes. 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Your baby won't die, okay, in 5 or 10 minutes. Trust me. They may live better. And take that 5 and 10 minutes and pray with the sisters. I tell you, two or three sisters on the Zoom, on the phone, Pray, intercede. Today that we are full of things to pray for. I tell you, you are the priest right there in your home, in your kitchen. How about take 5 minutes or 10 minutes and call up a young saint that you are burdened for to read something with them, to share with them something. Just, I'm talking about 5-10 minutes. That feeding of that person, that caring for person is part of the process of offering this one to God. You don't need to quit motherhood. So that is another way, right? Even your help in the so-called children's meeting, that is not just you're taking care of some children's meeting. You are there serving God. You see, this is Paul says, I serve God in my spirit. It depends whether you're in your spirit or not. If you are not in the spirit, nothing is a service to God. But if you're in the spirit, what you do, you know, even to take care of a saint's need, some saint in your neighborhood is sick, you go take care of them. That is in Romans, you know, showing mercy. Showing mercy is a gift that you are functioning as a priest at that time. All right? I hope none of us will use our current station in life and all the responsibilities and duties that come with it as an excuse that I cannot serve the Lord. Well, one day when I'm not a mother anymore, then you become a grandmother. Okay, when will this end? When will you stop becoming a grandmother? When you die, maybe. But that's too late. Now is the time to serve. Whatever your station in life is, however busy you are, it's a matter of, do you see who you are, what you are called to, what God's longing and desire is from us? No, there is a way. There is a way, and there is the time. And I will say more about these things. We all can do something. But back to the point here, we need companions. By ourselves, it's harder to sustain this, right? But when we have companions, when we have a group, this is the place where we serve in a built-up way, in a blended way. I hope my answer is not too harsh, dear sisters, or too cruel, dear sisters. I hope not. I don't think so. I don't think so at all.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Minoru.
Amen.
Some practical points from our brother sharing, which are very practical. First, we should all go to the Lord regarding what our brother has spoken to us. We can consider before the Lord whether we're living the life of a priest, regardless of our station in life. Is this a priority? Does this have the first place in my living? Am I serving the Lord? And let the Lord shine on us. As we're spending time before the Lord, we can also check our appetites. And consider before the Lord, do we have an appetite for the meetings, for his word, for the things of God, and allow the Lord to touch us and to speak to us. And then our brother also gave us 3 hymns that we can sing regarding the priesthood, 791, 845, and 911. 791, 849, and 911. And he also mentioned the book, The Priesthood, that we can get into if we want to get more into the priesthood. In addition to that, you know, he mentioned the offerings quite often, and Christ as a reality is very good for enjoying Christ as the offerings. And then finally, we need companions, and we need to be built up with others as a group. This is a priesthood, so we need others to become the hood, the priesthood. And then finally, we have an announcement that we have another session next week. Usually we have at least one break between sessions, but we will have a session next week, and this session will be in person. So I think this may be our first in-person session in a very long time, and it will be held at the Cal State East Bay campus in Hayward. It will be from 10 a.m. to noon, and it will be held as a hybrid meeting. So it will be in person, but it will be live streamed on Zoom, probably the same Zoom link. We particularly recommend those who are between 25 and 50 years old to attend in person. Even if you're not in that age group, if you're older, you're still welcome to come. But we particularly recommend those who are under 50 to come in person. Please prepare to come early because the seating is limited. If you will need translation or childcare, we would ask that you please attend by Zoom, because we won't have live translation and there will be no provision for childcare or even for you to take care of your children in a room or in some area. But if you're able to make arrangements ahead of time, we ask that you would please come in person if you're able to do so. It will be held in the University Union at Cal State East Bay, and we'll put the information in the chat, and we'll also send up a follow-up email with all this information to you, Saints. If there's nothing else, then we can end the meeting here.